Are you all tired this afternoon? I'm going to do something entirely different because of the first hymn. And I'm going to speak on the Pharisee and the publican. Just open up, if I can, open up that parable and take just a few minutes to do that. And we can be dismissed. And I trust it will be profitable. The preacher at times is sitting there prepared to speak on another issue. And in the song service or the Bible reading, something is said or done, and this is impressed upon his mind. So I will go with that this afternoon. I have about 95 pages of notes on the other subject, and we can do that, but I'm not geared up. Around their forearm and tie it. Three times represented the letter Sheen. Shema, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. So he's very orthodox. He assumes the position of prayer. He stands there as the very epitome of religious orthodoxy. If you were there, you'd look over at him and you would think, oh my, what a godly young man. Perhaps, or an old man standing there, maybe gray beard. He looks, oh, he reminds, this must how Abraham may have looked and so forth. You would paint a picture of this man as orthodox, as godly, as spiritual and so forth. But he does something when he begins to pray. Does anybody know what he does? He looks around to see who's looking at him. And that's how he sees the publican standing afar off. In the great temple at Jerusalem, you have the great outer wall and the great court of the Gentiles. That's where the money changers were. That's where they had animals for the sacrifice, etc., etc., etc. Then in from this was the middle wall of partition. It was a chest-high wall with openings through it and written in Greek, Hebrew, and Latin. No uncircumcised shall enter here upon pain of death. Now, you couldn't put a person to death in Israel. In the first century A.D., in the time of Herod and his successors, under the Roman government, you couldn't put a person to death. The Sanhedrin in Jerusalem, the great Sanhedrin, could not put a person to death, except if they violated that. Then they could have been immediately put to death. In the precinct of the temple. Any uncircumcised person. That's why when Paul went through there, they supposed, incorrectly, that he had brought Trophimus, a Greek, an uncircumcised person, and polluted the temple. And they were going about to kill him when the soldiers came out of the Tower of Antonia, built by Herod, right next to the temple. They came out and rescued Paul. But that's the only case where you could take a life immediately. So inside of that was the court of the women, a large court, and that's where the treasury was. You can make observations on that if you want. I will make an observation at this point. The court of the women held the treasury. And I guess the women handled a lot of the money, too, and were trusted in that. But my observation is this. Where in the temple did Jesus always teach? In the court of the women. He saw them how they cast their money into the treasuries. You never find our Lord that we read of in the Gospels going into the court of Israel. He stayed in the court of the women. What's the gospel application? He was always accessible to men and women both. Just a thought. Inside of this was the court of Israel. Only the men were allowed in. Women could go no further than the court of the women. The publican then evidently came just with inside, just through the opening. He's standing afar off. His head is down. He's smiting his breast. God, God be propitious to me, the sinner. God be propitious to me, the sinner. Contrast him with the Pharisee, standing in the posture of prayer, his eyes lifted up to heaven, and he prays. He stood thus and prayed with himself. God, I thank thee. So he uses the name of God, and that's not wrong. We should in prayer. He's addressing himself to God. But this is what he said. I thank thee, and we should be thankful. In Romans chapter 1, what is the first great sin of men? When they knew God, they did not. Not as God did they. I forget the term that's used there in Romans 1. acknowledge him, neither were thankful. Unthankfulness is one of the greatest sins, primary sins. I thank thee. But this is what he says, that I am not as other men are. You see, he trusted in himself that he was righteous and despised all the rest. He despised everyone else. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. He charges all other men with the worst of sins, but he's blind to his own spiritual condition, the very epitome of self-righteousness. Well, what does he put forth then? I mean, if we come before God and we condemn everybody else, what does he put forth to make himself the exception? I fast twice in the week. Is that all? And I give tithes of all that I possess. Is that all? Is that what makes him right with God? Is that what makes him different from everyone else? Mere externalities of religion. Our Lord said to the Pharisees, he said, you tithe mint and cumin and all these other small herbs, but you leave out the weightier matters of the law. So no doubt, this is the self-righteous Pharisee. And this is all he says. This is the extent of his prayer. No need for forgiveness. No need of repentance. No need to be at one with God, completely blind and spiritually dead and not seeing any reason for a right relationship to God. He was satisfied with the externalities of religion. And as I said, the externalities of religion are not needless, and they are good in and of themselves. But they mean nothing without the internal realities of religion. And so our Lord is done with the self-righteous Pharisee that believed that he in himself was righteous by his own efforts, his own works, and despised everyone else. Then we come to the publican, to the tax collector. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. And they would pray with their arms outstretched, or they would pray with their arms at the side, but they all physically looked into heaven. They were standing in the court of Israel, and behind the wall in front of them at the court of Israel was the court of the priests. And there, unseen to them, was the sacrificial blood. So both of them came on the merits of that blood. To the Pharisee, it was a matter of symbolism and it meant nothing. To the publican, it meant everything. God, be propitious to me on the basis of that blood on the mercy seat, heliasterion. That's the Greek word. Be propitious to me. Helasterion is mercy seat. He came on the basis of that blood sprinkled on the mercy seat. This is a heart matter of religion. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, the word smote in the Greek is in the imperfect tense, continual action in time past. He continued to beat upon his breast and continued to say, we have a present participle with the imperfect verb, God, be propitious to me, the sinner. There's a definite article in the original language. Not a sinner, not any sinner, but the sinner. The very epitome and focus of what God must judge. He looked upon himself as the sinner of all sinners. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And he repeated that until God spoke peace to his heart. We have here in the Word of God a biblical picture of the sinner's prayer. He didn't pray it once, sign a card from the priest who was there and walk home and said, I made my decision for Christ today. No, he prayed that prayer until God spoke peace to his heart. I tell you, said our Lord, this man went down to his house justified in a right relationship to God rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. One came filled with pride and self-sufficiency. The other came in all humility, sensing a need and coming to God. God, be merciful. Be propitious to me. I come to you on the basis of the shed blood, representative for me, that the priest has offered. I come on that basis. That's true inward heart religion. The Pharisee came in his own self-righteousness and condemned everyone else. You note that the publican condemned nobody. He wouldn't look up. Wouldn't look up to heaven. Wouldn't look to those around him. His head is down. He's just beating his breast. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. God spoke peace to his heart. He went down to his house justified rather than the other. So I want to take one final look at these two individuals. If we were an observer there, we might be entirely mistaken. Have you ever thought about that? We would see the Pharisee. We wouldn't know his heart. Perhaps we couldn't hear what he was praying. We just knew, we could see his mouth move. Maybe we're at a distance. And we see him there. He's assumed the position. He's well-dressed. He's intensely religious. He has the riband of blue. Everything is in its place. And we say, my, what a godly man. My, what a spiritual individual. Other people look at him almost with envy. He seems to be at home in God's presence. Everything seems to be in its proper place. Then we look around and here's the publican in the back. All we see is, and he's mumbling to himself, that man doesn't have a right to be here. Why do we let people like that come into our church building? I've heard people say that. People come in poor, homeless, and so forth. Why do we let them come here? They don't belong here. Let them go someplace else. Our church is more upstanding than this. We would completely misjudge the situation, probably, because only God knew their hearts. There's much more to this simple parable, quote, than meets the eye, pun intended. God knew their hearts. Our Lord knew their hearts. So he draws this picture. And I close with this thought. Whatever your religion might be outwardly, how is it inwardly? God knows your heart. When you meet with the people of God, when you sit under preaching, do you have that correspondent attitude of mind and heart, a heart of faith that receives the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and stands in his imputed righteousness, and you rejoice in the things of God? There is nothing greater in this life than to walk before God with a clear conscience according to God's word. Many people have a clear conscience, but they're dead in trespasses and sin. Men have outward religion, but they're dead in trespasses and sin. But to have a clear conscience according to the word of God is to have a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Thank you for that hymn. It brought forth some of these thoughts this afternoon. Father, bless, we pray, our service. We thank you for this passage of Scripture. We thank you for this parable told over 2,000 years ago that is still ministering to our hearts today. We praise you and we rejoice in your grace and mercy through Jesus Christ. Amen.